To some of you who have just joined in these lessons on the Nicolaitans, yesterday I read from chapter 2 of the book of Revelation. Our Lord said to the church at Ephesus, "You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate." And in verse 14, he's speaking to the church at Pergamos, and it tells them that there are those among you who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Our Lord is telling these two churches, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and I hate the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. It is never said here that God hated the Nicolaitans. He didn't hate the persons. He just hated their pernicious doctrine, their false doctrines, which they would use to lead his children astray. Our early fathers of the church recorded that the Nicolaitans were the spiritual descendants of Nicholas of Antioch, who was one of the seven chosen in the book of Acts chapter 6 to wait on tables. We know a lot about a few of those seven, but there's some that we know almost nothing about. We know about Stephen, how that he was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom, and he was well spoken of. We read that Philip, being full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen was later to be the first martyr in the history of the church, killed by the order of Saul of Tarsus, who became known as the Apostle Paul. The name Stephen is from the Greek word which means crown, which is worth noting, for he was the first to receive a martyr's crown. And then one of the seven was named Philip. Philip was ordained with the other six original table waiters. However, Acts 21 and 8 tells us that Philip later stepped into the ministry of evangelism. He had four daughters who prophesied. The name Philip means lover of horses. This name often symbolizes a person who ran with swiftness, as does a horse. A fitting name for a New Testament evangelist who ran swiftly to carry the gospel message. And then there is Nicholas. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5 tells us that this Nicholas was a proselyte of Antioch. The fact that he was a proselyte tells us that he was not born a Jew, but had converted from paganism to Judaism. When he experienced a second conversion, this time turning from Judaism to Christianity. From this information, we know these facts about Nicholas of Antioch. He came from paganism and had deep pagan roots, very much unlike the other six deacons who came from a pure Hebrew line. Nicholas's pagan background meant that he had previously been immersed in the activities of the occult. It would seem to indicate he was not concerned about the opinions of other people. He was a free thinker, to embracing new ideas and concepts. For him to shift from paganism to Judaism reveals that he was liberal in his thinking, because most pagans were offended by Judaism. He was obviously not afraid to entertain or embrace new ways of thinking. When he converted to Christ, it was at least the second time he had converted from one religion to another. His ability to easily change religious hat implies that he was not afraid to switch directions. According to the writings of the early church leaders, Nicholas taught a doctrine of compromise, implying that total separation between Christianity and the practice of occult paganism was not essential. From early church records, it seemed apparent that this Nicholas of Antioch had a stomach for all of it. He saw no reason why believers should not continue to fellowship with those still in the black magic. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.